from tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, December the 26th, 2002. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey is the teacher of the afternoon.
You know what? The word's true.
Amen.
And it doesn't lie. When I was teaching deliverance, a lot of times I'll say, you know, we've done deliverance like this. It's like mowing your grass. You know, we'd go out and cut the top off. Then it would grow again. And then you got to cut it off again. And I said, sometimes I felt like deliverance was like that because we weren't getting to the root of the thing. And so years ago, the Lord began to talk to me about the strong man. And I had backed away from it, and the Lord brought it back to me just recently, and I found my notes on it, and I got to digging in again. And so stay with me. We're going somewhere, okay? In Genesis chapter 25, and beginning with verse 21, you know the story of Isaac and Rebekah, and that Rebekah was barren. And in verse 21 says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So God told Rebekah that there were two nations in her, two kingdoms, two people. But look at it, two nations and two kingdoms within an individual's twins. But it said that one nation would be stronger than the other. One people would be stronger than the other. Okay? Keep that in mind. Now let's go over to James chapter 4. I'm going to show you this afternoon, if I can, if with the help of the Lord, to show you that God is building his kingdom in us. Right? Well, everything that God does, Satan counterfeits. Right? Okay. So, in God's kingdom, we've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the angels of the Lord, and all the things and attributes that God has given unto us, the spirits of God, seven spirits of God, okay? And in Satan's kingdom, he has rulers, and he has lesser spirits, and you know, in an army, you've got the generals, the highest, and then you've got, somebody help me, I don't know anything about the army. Colonels and the lieutenant, majors and lieutenants and the sergeants and the privates. So you've got a network in the army. And so let's apply that to the spiritual area in the Satan's kingdom. He's got strong men, ruler spirits. And then he's got the lesser spirits, and as you come down, and what we've been dealing with all the time has been the lesser ones, the little ones, what my son used to call furballs. And I've had people say, well, I get deliverance in praise and worship. I do too. I get deliverance while someone's teaching the word, because the word that Jesus cast out spirits with his word. So if you want deliverance when the word's going forth, you know, if you'll loosen yourself to hear the word and let the word do its work, you can get deliverance. You know, deliverance comes by yawning, coughing, tears, or however God wants to do it. God will do it any way he wants to, if we'll yield to him so he can. So when my son was talking about the furballs, he was talking about those little ones that run. They'll leave you in praise. When you're praising the Lord, when we're singing, they'll run. They don't like the praise. The devil doesn't like anything that pertains to God, and he doesn't like us because we are made in his image. And what the devil wants to do is to destroy us. And so he can't do it if we know who we are in him, in God. God's given us authority. We're blood bought, we're redeemed and paid for, sanctified, justified, and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we appropriate all that he did for us, he wants us to walk in the power and authority that he's given us. But you know, most of the time, and I have to say that we walk around, I guess, like beggars. I don't think that's quite the word, but I see it that way, because we're begging God to do what he's already promised to do and already done. He defeated Satan upon the cross. You know, when he went to the cross, he took the power away from him. But you know, and he's under judgment, but that penalty hasn't been carried out yet. I was at a camp meeting one time, and they had a guy dressed in a Satan suit, you know, red suit and with the tail and all that, and put him in a wheelchair and pushed him around. I think they had some, best I can remember, it's been back in the 70s, so I think they had him tied there, and said, see, he don't have any teeth, he can't hurt you. Well, they don't read their Bible, because Peter says over in 1 Peter that Satan goes around like a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:7 says he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, we don't have to let him devour us, but he goes around. And brother and sister, let me tell you something. You got to open doors. I don't care who you are. You're not perfect. Perfect means mature. We want to be. God said we could do that if over in Hebrews says we asked him to leave in the principle of doctrine of raising of the dead and all of this and going into perfection. But in the meantime, if you want to walk in the kingdom, you're not going to walk in the kingdom of God without getting those devils out of you. I never could understand why people couldn't see that. And they said, hey, Jesus said when they first started came to him about somebody doing deliverance, he said, the kingdom of God has come. The deliverance shows that, and deliverance is a miracle. And you want miracles? Listen, every time a demon has to go in the name of Jesus, it's a miracle according to what Jesus Christ himself said. I tell you, I've been in it so long, I know that his word works for those that will believe it and walk in it. And so he said over in James, I gave you that scripture over in Genesis where there's two nations, there's two kingdoms in people. James said in verse 1 of chapter 4, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Well, he said that lust wars in our members, that there's fighting within us, inside of us. We know the words. Paul said over in Romans, said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him sin. Well, we know what we ought to do, but sometimes there's just something there that we could just keeps pulling on you and talking to you and urging you in the other direction, and you listen to it and you obey it. And your scripture says to him who you obey, to him you become a servant of it. So God says to us, there's a war going on within us. You said, not within me. Well, I would say there is a war of sorts in you. Well, now, do I want to go do that, or do I don't? We do a lot of things without ever consulting the Lord about it. And God says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But too many times we're led by that other spirit. You know, we don't want to admit we had demons. But before I get through, you're going to really believe it or not believe it, okay? And it's up to you. My job is to teach it. I didn't write the book. I'm just reading it. Go to Ephesians 6, chapter 6, and verse 12. Paul says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, Paul said, we're wrestling with spirits. And in a wrestling match, you come real close to somebody. In fact, you get a hold of them, and they get a hold of you. Every wrestling match I've ever seen, which I've never seen many, but I've seen the start of them, and they not standing off saying, I wrestle you. It's body contact, isn't it? Well, Paul says we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting the enemy. In Genesis from Genesis to Revelation, we're in a war. And God says there's a curse comes on a person that won't fight that war. He's given us all the weapons we need to defeat the enemy. And he expects us to do it. And we'll answer to the Lord for not standing up for the things that we know, standing against the things that we know are wrong, and standing up for what we truly believe. Did you know that if you're around someone that's saying things like, all this is going on, you know, like that altered lifestyle is okay, and you don't say anything, you're in agreement with them. God expects us to stand up for him and his word. Yes, it will cause people to look at you funny. It will cause people to run from you. Stay away from that woman on the corner over there, you know. My house is on the corner. But they still come back. They run maybe when I talk to them, but they come back. But the thing is, we have to stand up for what we believe. If you're not standing up for it, you don't believe it. You're in agreement. And the word says, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And you know what? We cannot walk with someone that does not believe like we do. Now, we can love them and we can visit with them, but you can't walk with them and stay in faith. Let me tell you something. They'll try their best to talk you out of deliverance or anything else, because if they can talk you out of it, that means they're all right. And you got a spirit talking to you to start with. Well, now, you know, there's no such thing as a Christian having a demon. But the demons have Christians, don't they? There's a book somewhere around here, I think, that's titled that. I forgot who wrote it. But anyways, I'm still on the subject of spirits. Let's go to Daniel in chapter 10. You know, I was reading this the other day. And, you know, that angel that appeared, I thought it was scripture, the messenger that came to Daniel in chapter 10. I believe that was Jesus. It described him just like it does over in Revelation. Tells you it's the same words that they said about him. But chapter 10 and verse 12. Let me start with verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palm of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Wouldn't you love to know and believe in this and know for a fact that God hears you every time you talk to him? He does. He really does. I live alone, have for the last 3 years. I have a husband. He's gone home. But I live alone, me and Jesus. Anybody says something to me about, do you live by yourself? I said, no, I live with Jesus. He lives with me, and we talk a lot. I said, if you come up and hear me talking, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to him. And I do a lot of talking to him. And you know, what I'm seeing here, what Daniel believed God, and when a person believes God and goes before God in prayer or just talking to him, God hears us. You know, he hears us because of Jesus, not because of us, but because of Jesus. And he said to Daniel, he said, I am come for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there, with the king of Persia. He said, I would have come earlier. Now, the reason I'm using this, I want you to look that over different territories, areas, there are different spirits that rule. Now, Daniel was a man beloved of God and prayed to God, and he confessed the sins of his people, and God sent an answer to him, but was delayed 21 days because of a ruler prince in the heavens. And if you drop down to verse 20, he said, verse 19 said, And O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto you. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. And what I see here is he said when you just fight and pull down one strong man, one ruler in the heavenlies, that another will come take his place. But he also said that we have a prince, a ruler, a Michael, a prince angel, a warrior angel to help us in our warfare. So if you get fearful and the enemy tries to come against you, call upon him. You know, I fully believe in ministry of angels. I have believed in it since the first time the Lord has shown it to me. And especially, I was telling the girls upstairs, I said, especially since some of the demons say sometime we would have killed you a long time ago if it hadn't been for your blankety-blank angels. And I said, Lord, I'm so thankful that I have an angel, have angels around me to protect me, because the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. We are in a war, and we are dealing with rulers. I believe this is why we're not seeing people get delivered. It's because, excuse me, of their ruler spirits, and we're going after the wrong things. I think we're fighting the little ones, and we don't want to get into the warfare with the bigger ones. Y'all pardon me. The enemy attacks me ever so often. He really attacked me this morning. I'll tell you what I went through this morning before I could stay. You wouldn't believe it. Because he knew, you know, I've had demons. You say you talk to demons. No, they talk to me when I'm in deliverance. I've had them tell me, well, I know what you've been reading. I've been watching you. I've been looking over your shoulder at you. I don't let them know what I believe. And I just ignore that. But, you know, they do know. Satan's not God. He can't be everywhere at one time. And Satan don't deal with people like me. He goes after the bigger people. But the thing is, he's got a network of spirits, is what I'm trying to want to tell you this afternoon, that there is a network that we need to tear down and destroy. And because most of the time we don't want to believe it and we don't want to do it. I see people that need deliverance the worst kind of way, and they won't sit or come into a meeting and they won't come and get deliverance. They'll say, I'm okay, you know, everybody else has got demons. I got news for you. Everybody's got them as far as I know. I hadn't met him, but doesn't have them. The only person I know that never had one was Jesus. And when they tell me, when they come up to me and tell me, well, I don't have any demons, I say, well, what are you doing here?
Right.
If you don't have any spirits, you should be with Jesus. Well, okay. Going on. Isaiah chapter 14. Let's go over there. By the way, if you want a scripture on the angels, Psalms 103, verse 20, and Hebrews 1:14 will tell you that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. Isaiah chapter 14. The Lord dropped this in my spirit this morning when I was studying this. I had already done most of the work. He was showing me that this scripture tells us why the enemy has built a kingdom, or tried to build a kingdom, or whatsoever in us, is because Satan wants to rule. Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see, he wants to be God. And he wants to be God in you and I. He wants to rule and reign in us. I was telling the girls up there, the enemy starts on you before you're born, when you're still in your mother's womb. Because you see, before you come to know Jesus, I know babies come from the Lord, but you see, if the mothers and fathers are walking where they should be, those children would be protected in the womb. I didn't tell that to the girls. So the Lord just reminded me of it. If a person is, and the child is conceived in the right way, without perversion and all that kind of stuff, then that child will be protected. It will come in. It's, of course, it's under the curse of the sins of the fathers, but those spirits have no right to take that child over. But you see, not many people are walking there. And Satan, Lucifer wants to destroy every believer. He can't touch God, but he can touch God's people. He hates God, so he attacks God's people to destroy. He wants to, heard somebody say this morning, I think, I can't remember where I heard it, said that, look at the world today. He wants to erase every mention of God. The Ten Commandments have been literally taken from everywhere, and go into a store. I have problems with the stores this time of the year. They never have anything up there pertaining to the birth of Jesus anymore. They say they're celebrating his birthday, but they may be celebrating a birthday, but they don't know the man of the birthday. They're, you know, it's worldly. It's all world. But anyways, going on. He said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I know when the Lord comes back, he is going to bind him and throw him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Revelation 20 tells that. Then later, further on in there, says that Satan, the beast, the false prophet, will be cast into the lake of fire. But in the meantime, he's loose on this earth, and we have the authority to stop him. We have the authority to tear down his kingdom. But we need to go after the power spirits and destroy them. Okay? This is hard because I haven't taught this before. But I want you to go to Luke in chapter 17. Your unbelief will not make this word untrue. we sometimes doubt. We have get in doubt on it over the what the word when someone's sharing it. But you know what the word says: search the scriptures to see if these things be true or not. So, if nothing else, if you halfway here, you will start searching the scripture to see if this be true or not. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. This is where Jesus came down off the Mount Transfiguration, and they had that demon that they couldn't cast out, and the disciples couldn't. By the way, that ought to encourage deliverance workers if the disciples had trouble getting one out. Mm-hmm. Who are we? They walk with Jesus. But we have the authority and power and the word, written word. And he said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Howbeit, he said, this kind goes out. Wait a minute, I've got the wrong scripture. I'm in the same chapter, but back up to verse 14. That's where I want to go. Well, I guess the reason I'm having trouble, I'm in Matthew. Y'all excuse me. I'll get there. Luke 17 and verse 20. It's still verse 20. I was just in the wrong book. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, the Pharisees demanded of Jesus, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. God's kingdom is within us. He's building his kingdom, and the more we believe his word, you know what I always say about deliverance? The more we cast out of the enemy, the more room we got for the things of God. I always said when I first got into deliverance, it seemed like I could never get in deliverance for myself. I was always praying for other people. And I'd watch some of the girls get so much deliverance and watch their life change. And I'd say, Lord, what about me? And finally I said, okay, it's my time. And I sat down, oh, they just loved it. They just ganged up on me, and they said they just couldn't wait to see me on the floor. Well, they never have yet. Or maybe they have, I can't remember. But the thing is, deliverance is a way of life with us, and we're going to walk this way. Because, you know, I was sharing with someone this morning, you know, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, remember? In Matthew 13, or whatever it was. It's chapter 13, it's one of the books, can't remember right now, but he said, Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you've got no part of me. And God was showing me through that, as we walk through this earth, no matter how much deliverance you get, you will pick up things, and you need to get deliverance for it. Because if Jesus was talking to the disciples and said, you're walking in this earth, and if you don't let me wash your feet, then you don't have any part in me. And I said, Lord, take everything out of me that needs to go. He hadn't got it all left yet. He's still working. Because I want to be able to really know that I know that I know that I know. And I do know. But I want it manifested in me. You see, you and I started off with saying that so many, we walk in the world and people sometimes see us and see all of our problems. I think that's what the brother said this morning. But let me tell you something. God says you may be the only epistle somebody reads. We need to walk in the power and authority that God's given us and take authority over this earth. You see, this is the only earth you've really got any authority over. You live in it. You're made out of dirt. And God put in you He breathed the breath of life within you. And he said, I give you dominion. And we've got dominion over this earth, but we don't take it. We want somebody else to do it for us. Nobody said amen to that, but it's true. I got some babies in my church. I know what I'm talking about. They know the word. They know how to do deliverance, but they always want somebody else to do it for them. And to mature, you've got to learn to do it yourself. And know that when you pray, you've got the authority to do it. Okay, going on. Go over to Luke 11, chapter 11. I got to hurry because I got some things I want to share about this if I get to it. But I'm trying to show you there is a kingdom within you. If the kingdom of God is within you, do you not think before you came to the Lord that the enemy was trying to build his kingdom there? I know that when we came to the Lord, God forgave us and he cleansed us. But if you have any problems with anything, you need to get that thing out. You need to get rid of it. And before I get through, you're going to wonder about some of this. Okay, Luke 11, verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Herefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man keepeth his palace, his goods are in place. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overtake him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth the spoils. Jesus said if he's casting out spirits, devils, then the kingdom of God has come unto us. And so he's showing us that he's given us authority, and he said he casts them out with the finger of God. And another scripture said he casts them out with the spirit of God. So the power and authority he's given unto us to do this, he says as we do this, we're bringing the kingdom closer and closer to upon the earth. We're all waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. You know what? If you're going to be a warrior in his army when he comes back, you better get busy practicing now. I'm saying practice casting out spirits. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you don't want to cast out spirits. But you see, it's the ministry of Jesus. And over in Mark 16, He says the believer. If you're not casting them out, you're not a believer in the ministry of Jesus. I didn't say that. That's his word. He said, he that believeth will cast out devils. You know, he said that even before he said some of the other things. And yet we see people tend to omit that and look. In fact, when I was in the Baptist church, and I tell people, girls upstairs, I really love the Baptist church because I love where I was seated. I learned I was seated in Christ Jesus in the Baptist church. I had a pastor over there that knew the word. He said, "You're in seated in Him at the right hand of the Father," and I thought, glory. Well, if we're seated there and we have that authority and that power He's given unto us, He wants us to go and He wants us to be doers of the word. And so as we go forth, we bring in the kingdom, and I lost my train of thought. Praise the Lord. But I'm going on anyways. Okay, Matthew chapter 12. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Lord, bring it back to me. You don't know how hard sometimes it is to teach deliverance. Even in my own church, I have to war with the Spirit. Matthew 12, verse 29. Jesus said, verse 28 says, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" Jesus said we need to bind the strong man before we do the deliverance. He said, verse 29, "Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods?" Bind the strong man and then go in and what he's talking about here with his goods, he's talking about that network of spirits. Did you know that demons have a network of communication? If I remember, tomorrow I'm going to bring, I've got a prayer the Lord has given us that where you destroy the power of the communication so they can't receive instructions. Cut off the power from the heavenlies and bind the strong man and cut their power off. See, the devil can't be everywhere at one time, but y'all not going to believe this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I was doing ministry one night to a lady in my church. There's two of them in there that had been sexually abused when they were little. And girls, that's just, it was, they'd gone through so much, these girls had. And I was ministering to one, and the other one, I don't remember where she was, but the demon in the other one was communicating with the demon in that one. And I had never seen that happen before, and they were given power to one another. So we had to cut off the power between them. See, the girl that I was ministering to said, "This demon in me is talking to the demon in that girl back there, and I hear it." I don't know, I didn't hear it, so I don't know, but that's, she told me that. And so when I cut the power off, we got that thing out of her. We had to cut it off from the girl that had the seat. Both of them had been abused as children. I tell this, one of the girls was sexually molested when she was four, and she went to her mother and told her mother. Her mother whipped her, told her she was lying, that she was a child of the devil. I was telling the girls upstairs about how we put spirits in babies in the womb, you know, rejection and all this. And we had to get a spirit of the devil out of that girl, a child of the devil's, what she had come in. Her mother didn't say it to her once. She just kept telling her this. But she whipped her. And the little girl went into the closet and was crying. And her mother had evidently, I don't know, remember what she used on her, but there had been blood run down her legs from, you know, from the beating her mother gave her. And there was a spirit came into her in the closet. When she was in the closet crying, and she was crying out to God, "Why is this happening to me?" Little 4-year-old girl, she remembered all of this when she was in telling me about it, and said that this thing came and talked to her, and he said, "I love you. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you." That thing entered her, and we had to cast it out. And I was talking about the blood, that thing, even she could remember and went back to her mother's home and found it in the closet where she had made an X and the blood that was running down her legs from the beating she got. She signed a contract, made a covenant with blood. And we had to do, even to go to as far as call her name, ask God to erase her name out of the devil's book. We got that thing out. It took us a few hours to get it out. There was eight of us praying. And when that girl came out of that thing, when that thing came out of that girl, she came up. She was on the floor. And the thing kept telling us it's going to kill her. And I said, you can't kill her. God won't let you. You're lying and all of this. But it fought us. It fought us and it fought us. But when we got it out, she came up off the floor. And I want you to know that girl's face radiated the glory of God. And she came up, both arms lifted, praising and worshiping God. That was real deliverance. And God did such work, but she had been through so much. So don't tell me that demons don't come in and take over and try to. This girl had been through all kinds of things. It was unreal. I learned a lot of deliverance by ministering to her. But anyways, we have to bind a strong man and spoil his house. Now, I want to talk about the strong man as I can get to this, but let's go one more scripture. Let's see, where was I? I'm in Matthew 12. Okay, let's go to Mark 11. Mark 11 and verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Talking about Jesus, he was going on his way to Bethany. That what's that guy do with just hanging there? And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, you know, he answered that fig tree. It didn't say the tree talked to him, but it said he answered it. So evidently it said something, you know. I guess he looked at it and said, I don't have any fruit. Jesus said, no man eat fruit of thee henceforth forever. And his disciples heard it. Jesus said, spoke to the tree, and he said, no man will eat fruit from you forever. Okay, look at verse 19. I skipped down to that verse. You can read the rest of it if you want to, but it's not pertaining to this. And he said, when evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. God began to show me this is what we'd been doing in the area of deliverance. As Brother Donnie said last night, I think it was Donnie said it, that we are seeing the same people. And I heard Norman Parrish say the same thing at the pastor's conference, that we're seeing the same people get deliverance over and over again. And I said, God, I am tired of this. I've been talking to the Lord about it. I said, I am tired of this. It's hard work. Deliverance is hard work. And that's why a lot of people don't want to do it. You have to fight. And then you've got to fight the backlash and retaliation. A lot of people say, well, you know, they can't, but if it can't hit you, it'll hit men of your family if you don't protect them. And sometimes when you're so tired, you forget to do it. But Jesus cursed that thing at the root. So what the Lord was saying to me was that we've been going after the leaves and the limbs and leaving the root of the tree. People get a little bit of deliverance, and I've had them come to me and say, I'm totally delivered. I thought, oh, praise the Lord. If I could walk in the anointing that Jesus did, I could do that. Lord, you know, Lord, give me that anointing. But, you know, there's a scripture over in Deuteronomy. God said that little by little, he cast them out. Okay? So as we get those leaves and the limbs off, we need to continue till we get after the root, the strong man that's there. Okay? Well, I started off by saying that I believed that years ago that there was more than one strong man in a person. And I didn't want to listen to that. So I backed away from it. But the Lord has brought it back to me. So in a minute I'm going to show you something. Let's go to Mark chapter 5 now, okay? In verse 7, if you back up and read all of this, let's read it all. Verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, and who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, he afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And Jesus said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." "We are many," he said. Okay. And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. So, as the man, the Gadarene demonic that was possessed by spirits, that when the demons talked to him, to Jesus, there was one that talked to him, and he said his name was Legion. He says, "We are many. There's 6,000 in a legion, so I've been told." That's a lot of demons in one person. But let's go on. Over in Mark 1, I'm just trying to show you that there are spirits in people. In Mark 1 and verse 29, wait a minute. Nope, that's not right. Let me back up. I can't read my own writing. Verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? And thou comest to destroy, art thou come to destroy us? I know that thou art who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him. By the way, back up there it says, when the spirit was talking to Jesus, he said, "Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, thou Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Now, go to Luke chapter 8 in verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Every time Mary is mentioned, just about every time she's mentioned, it's always added, "out of whom went 7 devils." When I first read that years and years ago, I mean, when I read it one time, and was after I got into deliverance, I wanted to know, "Lord, why did you just say 7 spirits, 7 devils?" Because we know that there's a lot of devils in people, demons in people, spirits, whichever you want to call them. They're devils. Why 7? And I began to believe, as I studied the word, that he was telling us there were 7 strong men. Could it be? Now, I'm throwing this out to you. You search the scripture, see if this be true. Could it be there are 7 different strong men that are rulers over 7 different things, like fear? How many times have we... I went over and prayed for a lady this morning, through all the other things I went through before I left Strayer. And I was praying for her, and fear popped up again. And she said to me, "I thought we got fear out." And she was so full of it. I said, "We got fear out of you. There's just more there." Could there be a ruler spirit, a strong man, over fear? You got little fear, big fear, fear of storms, fear of snakes, fear of fires, fear of people, fear of that. Think of that. A ruler spirit. What if we get the ruler spirit out? They do have to. Bind the household. You see, Matthew 16:19 says, Jesus said to Peter, let me back up and talk to you a minute about binding. Somebody help me keep my place in my memory where I am on the 7 spirits. Jesus said to Peter, in verse 13 of Matthew 16, he came to him and said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Some say that thou art Elijah, and some say you're Jeremiah." He said, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus went on to tell him that upon that knowledge of who Peter knew, God, he said, God had revealed that to you. Only my Father, which is in heaven, he said, has revealed that to you. And he said, upon that, I'm going to build my church on who Jesus Christ is to you and to I. The Lord woke me up one morning and gave me this scripture. He talked to me three times in my bed, and he said, "I said to you, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven." And I said, "Lord, I know that, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was." So I'm laying there, and he said, "I said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven." And the third time he said it to me, I said, "Lord, I hear you." And I got up, and I went into the den, and I got my Bible, and I said, "Now, what are you trying to tell me?" He said, "Your binding works according to who I am to you. And when you know who you are in him, binding works." Wasn't any time till I got a phone call from a lady, and she said, "Help me." And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I am so twisted that my daughter," her son, one I don't remember which, "was holding the phone while she talked to me and said, I can't even get my body straight in the bed." So I knew God had woke me up and told me this, and so I started binding the spirit. I had no idea what it was, and I said, "You demon that's doing this to her, I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus." And I just kept binding her because this was new to me. And as I bound, she said, "Don't stop." Said, "My body's beginning to straighten up a little." And as I continued to bind, she got totally free from it. She got loose. But her body was so twisted. And I had seen her when we were doing deliverance on her. I had seen her head turn almost, in the natural, there's no way you could do it. But I had seen her chin be up here and her forehead back here, backwards. I'd never seen anything like it. So I know that spirits can do things in people, and so God taught me how to bind. And that's why I was saying, if we bind the strong man of fear, sometimes we know where it came in. I had a lady tell me she was on a merry-go-round one time, and fear came into her when she was a little girl. And I thought, I'm not dealing with that right then with her. I was praying over something else. If that might have been the root of the fear there. I had terrible fear of snakes. I almost stepped on one when I was a little girl. And from that time till I got rid of some of the fear, I felt fear of snakes. And then your fear of being alone, fear of being attacked, fear of, all kinds of fear. But mostly storms and things like that. Let me tell you something. If you want to find out if it be true or not, when that fear begins to attack you, any kind of fear, start binding fear. All the fears in you.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.